Easter is coming up, and I just can't wait to have the whole family in one place. And of course, what's Easter without an awesome Easter brunch? Now, I don't know about your family, but mine is a little picky, and I really wanted to impress them with something delicious. A friend told me I should check out Total Wine & More. It was crazy! They must have every wine and beer imaginable. I told one of their friendly experts my situation, and they found me just the thing. This sparkling wine is going to be absolutely perfect for brunch, even with my picky family. I know next time I need something, I'm shopping at Total Wine and More.
Blog Talk Radio.
Contra Radio Network. Preparedness Radio. With your host, John Jeffers.
That I have your attention. I'm John Jeffers, your host, founder, and executive producer here at the Contra Radio Network. I've got Night Rebel 556. He is logged into the chat room. You may join him there too. Just go to Contra Radio. You have to go to blogtalkradio.com/Contra Radio. Set up your free account, go into the chat room, and have at it. Now, if you want to call in tonight, you can. Always enjoy having callers. 516-453-9389. That's 516-453-9389. All right. Yes, Mark, also known as Night Rebel 556. Anyways, hey, big news here for CRN. Two things. One, our good friend Kirk out in Southern California has designed a third T-shirt for the Contra Radio Network, so I'll be putting that up on the CRN Facebook page very shortly. And Wednesday, you don't want to miss this now. So get your cell phones, get the calendar, whatever you got to do. Don't miss this. We've been talking about the Armageddon movie coming out next month. I can confirm it now. We will have the director and writer, Mike Norris, here at the Contra Radio Network. So you can log into the chat room, ask him questions, whatnot, if you like. He's agreed to come on Contra Radio Network. For how long, I do not know. I don't care. I'm just glad to have him here. So we, yes, I know. I was surprised too. Once we sent out the email, we got a response back like an hour or two. So we're really excited about this. I know Terry's looking for this. I know he's looking forward to this like going crazy. Now, the thing of it is this, all right? We need the listeners' help. Hey, Scooter 13, haven't seen or heard from you in a couple months. I'm glad you're here. He's in the chat room as well. So do me a favor. Get a hold of whatever your local theater is. Like in Illinois, this movie is not playing at all. There are many states in the country. This movie is not playing at all. Get a hold of them. Ask them, email them to show the film. And if they're not going to show the film, why aren't they going to show the film? The CRN Facebook page, I think Terry put a copy of his email that he sent to his local theater. I know Mike is asking also, Mike Norris, the director and the writer, co-writer, are asking also for the prepper and patriot communities to come out and really punch hard with this. This is the first of a series of films that they're doing. This is just the first one they're doing, that's all. And they need for it to be, you know, to show the theater and say, look, people want to see these movies. So email them. Email your local theater, find out if they're going to be showing this movie. If not, why not? If so, great. Appreciate it. And they got to get the people there to it. I mean, that's the way it works. Okay, it takes a lot of time moving to Freedom. Oh, that's right. You went to Freedom in the great state of Idaho, I believe. He had to leave California, Americhuco. So, anyways, I'm glad to have Screw 13 back. We always had a good time with him. And we got NightRubble 556 also in the chat room. So if you want to join in, you can. You can give us a call at 516-453-9389. 516-453-9389. So like I said, we're going to be punching real hard for this movie. We're very excited to have the director and the co-writer, Mike Norris. In case you're wondering, yes, it is Mike Norris. That's Chuck Norris's son. So yes, that is the relationship. That is true. But you know, one thing is, I don't want to ask Mike about Chuck. I want Mike to talk to me about this movie, Armageddon. Now, we put a link on for the show to the movie. You see it on the CRN Facebook page or all the damn place. Got to find out. We got to get the movies playing. We got to get these things out there. Get the word out, because let's face it, it helps. Also, what I'm doing, I started creating the Contra Radio Network YouTube channel, so we can start putting in some videos that we want to do. So we're working on that. Everything's going somewhere. We're trying to expand the Contra Radio Network, but we need your help. Go to patreon.com, P-A-T-R-E-O-N, patreon.com. Hey, if you could throw a few bucks a month, like $2 or $3 a month our way here at the Radio Contra Radio Network, we'd really appreciate it. It'd really help. It really would. All right. Now, let's get to it here. In case you're wondering, if you're on the Blog Talk Radio, see a couple of missile shots. Those are the missiles, the Minuteman III's that were launched out of Vandenberg Air Force Base last month. Yeah. I just thought I'd share those pictures with you. One of the things we want to talk about is, it's from Ken Jorgensen. 10 hints for the survival kitchen. The survival kitchen. And that's from Modern Survival Blog. I saw this and I thought, well, I'm not going to do it. And I thought, you know, yeah, I am. Because you know what? It's important. It may not be exciting, but it's important. We want to listen to it. So here are the 10 hints for the survival kitchen. So, you know, here's a list of general preparedness hints for the survival food pantry and kitchen. So let's get right to it. Number one is high quality foods. So when choosing foods that you won't be consuming right away, it's important to use so-called high-quality foods. This will help assure that your preservation method, coupled with long-term storage, will result in a more nutritious and tasty meal later on. One thing this means is to be aware that storing foods, which may be nearing their end of shelf life, for example, sometimes fresh foods are put on sale at the grocery store because they're seemingly just hours away from going bad. This might be a good deal to make an upcoming meal, but for food storage, not so good, unless you can freeze it. If it's meat, you can freeze it. Another thing this means is simply that some foods aren't that good of quality. This may be manufacturer related nor for other reasons. So generally, you have to come to know what's good versus, well, not so good. So use your better judgment when selecting long-term storage foods. Number two, how about a good variety of foods? Variety is the spice of life, and that includes foods you eat. As you fill your deep pantry, be consciously aware to procure a variety of foods. Not only a variety of foods, but also a variety of storage, such as, you know, canned, dry goods, freeze-dried, dehydrated, etc. All right. Number three, how about store foods in the coolest place? And we don't mean, you know, where it looks the best. We're talking temperature-wise here. So this can sometimes be difficult. That is finding the stereotypical ideal cool and dark place to store your foods. You might have already filled your kitchen shelves and cupboards and maybe even a small kitchen pantry, but what about the rest? Some are tempted to store some of their long-term food storage in the shed out in the backyard. Bad idea. The big problem, that is summer heat. Higher temperatures will drastically reduce the food's shelf life. Others will store food in the basement. This is a good idea. Why? It's cooler and generally dark. However, be very aware of potential rust problems because many basements are somewhat damp with a higher humidity level. Additionally, this excessive moisture will work its way into many types of packaging and eventually affect the food. Be aware of it. Number four, rotate your foods. Don't just set it and forget it. A good food rotation planner method will keep the food in motion. Use the oldest first. Take from the right. For example, if one of your shelves holds a variety of canned beans, when you remove a can, take the one all the way over on the right. When you restock, put the new can on the left while sliding the remaining cans to the right. This technique always ensures that the can on the right is the oldest and the next one to consume. Take from the front. When your shelves are deep enough to store multiple rows of food items, place the newest items in the back while moving the older items to the front. This will assure that what you take from the front is the oldest, which should be consumed first. Here's a hint from me to you. When you get something in, when you get your supplies in, get the magic marker, the Sharpie, write the date on it. There you go. Number five, be aware of potential issues if storing lots of wheat. Most all serious preppers will have a storage of dry goods, including wheat berries. However, be very aware that not everyone can adapt to eating lots of wheat. It may take time for your system to adapt, while others may have issues no matter how long they try. So it's a good idea to actually process and consume some of that wheat on a regular basis. For example, make your own bread. So when the crap hits the fan, your body won't be in shock while suddenly consuming other foods. This will also let you know if you or anyone in your household has an issue with wheat. Okay, you ready for this, guys? Every human being has an issue with wheat. With you eat, okay, here, for example, wheat beer. You drink a beer that's made from wheat, and you feel bloated, and I mean totally bloated. Well, it's not bloated from the beer. It's bloated because the body's swelling, inflammation. Also, you know, people eat wheat bread. Don't eat wheat. I mean, look, if you're starving, you're going to eat it, but be aware of it. Every human being has an issue with wheat. We can eat it, but by eating it, it's like with white flour, same problem. You eat it, your body's going to start inflaming, which makes you feel bloated and whatnot until you get through that. Number six, beware of appetite fatigue. This ties in with having a wide variety of food storage. Now, can you imagine eating just rice and beans over and over and over again? While it is quite easy to quickly acquire a large quantity of dry goods, such as rice and beans, for example, don't just stop there, because if the crap hits the fan and you and your household are now eating from long-term food storage, it won't take long for appetite fatigue to set in. This is a serious thing, so don't ignore it. Be creative and really expand your pantry for variety. Case in point, what did the wife and I have the other day? Oh, last month we had too much pork. It got to the point I looked at her, I said, for the love of God, please, no more pork. She goes, no, I get it. I understand it. I said, yes, it was good. No. Not for a while. So, yeah. So be aware. Appetite fatigue is real. It's true. All right. Store what you eat. Eat what you store. That's number seven. So I dare say that most preppers simply build up big food storage and then mostly sit on it. I suspect that too many people do not actually proactively consume, rotate from their deep pantry stores. The obvious problem with this is shelf life. While some of your storage may have a decade or longer shelf life, other food storage is, let's put it this way. The obvious, I'm trying to think of a better way to put this, look. You may have some that have longer shelf life than others. All right, some of it isn't. So additionally, why risk having bad food if and when the time comes to use it? I realize that food storage is an insurance policy, but the beauty is that unlike a typical insurance policy, you can actually use, consume what you put into it. So a serious goal should be to really begin to eat as much as you can from the foods that you store. This will enable excellent food rotation, minimal waste. Plus, if you aren't eating it, that means that might mean you're not acquiring the wrong foods. You know what I'm saying? It's always a good idea to test, eat from your supply catch. I mean, once you find something you don't like and you just bought three more cases of it. Talk about appetite fatigue. You know, please, I'm going to cut my wrist and bleed out slowly. No more. All right, 8, the importance of cooking oil. Cooking oil is a very important item to have in your storage. It is hard to cook without, and it adds calories and flavor to your meals. Be cautious of how you store cooking oil. Without proper storage, it may begin to go rancid in a year. So definitely keep it a cool and dark. Dark is important place, maybe in a box, sitting on the cool basement floor. If you're able to freeze it, it will last a very long time, many years. 9, spice it up. I kind of overemphasize how happy you'll be if you stored ahead lots of spices. Try eating rice and beans with no spice, for example. With a big variety of spices, you can tremendously expand your menu. 10, beans with rice, wheat, or corn. These are important things. The combination of rice and beans makes a complete protein. Rice is rich in starch and an excellent source of energy. Beans are rich in protein and contain other minerals. The consumption of the two together provides all the essential amino acids, and it is no wonder that this combination is a staple of many diets throughout the world. So by adding either of the grains, wheat, corn, or rice with beans, it makes a nutritious combination. There you have it. All right. What do we have here? This is from knowledgeweighsnothing.com. Knowledgeweighsnothing.com. This is busting the canned food expiration date myth. Eagerly, you search through your pantry to find a tasty treat. Fumbling with an assortment of packaged goods, you come across a can of beans. Now, while your mouth waters with the promise of baked bean goodness, your eyes stumble across a familiar sight, the sell-by date. Checking the wall calendar, you notice that the printed date was months ago. With a concern for safety, you throw the beans into the trash and continue your quest for food. The above scenario is a common ritual throughout many households, but while you think you're safeguarding your health by tossing in a, quote-unquote, expired can into the trash, you're really wasting money and food. One of the biggest misconceptions in our current society is the duration before canned foods become inedible. In fact, most cans don't feature an expiration date, but rather a for best quality use by date stamp. So next time you're wavering on whether or not a can of food is safe to consume, remember the following. Ready? This is important. Canned foods are manufactured for eternity. Now, while eternity may be an overstatement, the process of canning foods renders its contents commercially sterile and microbiologically safe to consume, even when the sell-by date is from a bygone era. To understand why canned foods are safe to eat long after any printed date, you must understand how these products are made. Canned foods are sterilized by heating its contents with steam at temperatures from 116 to 121 degrees Celsius. By exposing food to high-pressured steam, microorganisms are destroyed and inhibited from repopulating its interior. Cans are then sealed to make them, quote-unquote, airtight, which preserves its sterile environment. Now, unless punctured, its contents remain in suspended animation, waiting the day to be cooked and enjoyed by you. So you're going to, so right, you say, show me the evidence. Okay, we're going to do that. So you're still not convinced that canned beans you just threw away was still edible? Consider this study published by the Canned Manufacturers Institute headquartered in D.C. In the 1820s, an expedition led by Sir William Edward Parry, I was just thinking about this too, folks, when I was telling you about this, set out to explore the Northwest Passage. To keep his crew fed, he gathered several canned meats for the voyage. Now, two of these cans survived uneaten and were kept in a museum until 1938. Now, remember, this expedition took place in the 1820s, so we're well over 100 years later. When researchers removed the canned meat for inspection, after nearly 100 years, scientists found that the meat was nutritionally sound and considered safe for consumption. In fact, the Canned Food Alliance states that as long as the can has not been ruptured, its contents are considered safe for eating indefinitely. All right? But what about nutritional value? Great question. And the answer is simply because something is safe to eat doesn't mean it's packed full of nutrients, or does it? Because canned food is sealed and processed at the but most foods retain their nutrients and vitamins years after they've been canned. Although the texture and color of foods may alter during a long shelf life, its safety and nutrition remains intact. So next time you're scouring your pantry looking for food, pay no mind to the dates listed on the can. As long as it's been stored at a moderate temperature and its shell, that's the can, hasn't been punctured, open the can and enjoy it. Do you know how much food is wasted, and I mean wasted, because of that stupid date stamp and the fact that people do not understand what the stamp is? Let me ask you something. You got milk? Sure you do. You go to the store, you look for the milk that has that expiration date that's, you know, at least 10 days from, today's date. Now, you got that milk in the refrigerator, you, the kids, the wife, the family, whatever. Everybody's been, partaking of the milk. Day 10 comes, and you're kind of getting kind of weary, going, I don't know. You smell it? Hey, it smells all right. Day 11, you smell it's all right. It doesn't go bad for a few days after that. In fact, I've had it, the colder you can keep the milk, the longer it's going to stay. Same thing with the food here. I believe it's a 40% waste rate. When people see that stupid date on the can, they don't understand it. And so, 40% of the food goes to waste. And why? There's nothing wrong with it. So remember that. Don't freak out, okay? Here's one from Off the Grid News. It's called 12 Overlooked Items No One Includes in Their Preps But Should. So this is important stuff here. 12 Overlooked Items No One Includes in Their Preps But Should. So no matter. Anyway, we got some offthegridnews.com. Offthegridnews.com. So no matter how much thought and effort we put into preparing for the unknown, there's always something we're likely to forget. We fail to stock up on this, we put off buying that, and we neglect preparing things we think we'll never use in a disaster situation. So following this list of things we often overlook when preparing for a natural or man-made disaster, or even a time when the power is simply out for a few days or weeks. You wouldn't normally find them in the usual, survival list because they're not urgently needed. But in a major long-term collapse, when business is down and most goods and services aren't on the market, or maybe there won't be any market at all, depending on the situation, these are the things you'll wish you had stocked up on. Regular, ordinary things that usually wear out in a few years, or factory-made stuff that's impossible to make yourself. So number one, boots. Yeah, boots, B-O-O-T-S. Get sturdy, good quality boots that you can use for a variety of purposes and in different terrain. While shoes, and boots for that matter, are highly specialized these days, you can offer hybrids. Hybrids are durable enough for hiking, but versatile and comfy enough for gardening, walking downtown, or even pedaling short distances. They'll just be your backup anyway, something you can resort to if your current pair breaks down. Number two, eyewear. This is important. Glasses, guys. Do you wear glasses? Get an extra pair of prescription glasses or several pairs of contact lenses, a few dozen if they're disposable, so you won't be visually challenged if you break or lose your extra pair. Extra sunglasses are good to have, too, if you're going to be out in the sun a lot. Number three, how about a bicycle? Car breaks down or it runs out of gas, you'll have to pedal to town or to your nearest neighbor for help. Consider attaching a basket or a trailer for hauling supplies. Get spare tubes, too, along with an extra pump. Number four, how about basic hand tools? These are critical if a disaster strikes and the grid goes down. Expect to have to do some repairs or minor projects by manual labor. Now, you'll already know the essentials: hammer, screwdrivers, drills, pliers, wrenches, crowbar, saw. If you already have them, make sure they're in good shape. Throw in a couple knives, scissors, can openers, and nails of various sizes. If you do a lot of homesteading, you know how indispensable gardening tools and supplies are. From axes to gloves to wheelbarrows. If you already have them, make sure you're in good shape. Throw in a couple of knives, scissors, can openers, nails, different sizes. If you do a lot of homesteading and you know how indispensable gardening tools and supplies are, from axes to gloves to wheelbarrows. All right, you got all that stuff. Number five, raw building materials. Homesteaders usually have these in their sheds already, but suburban dwellers likely still run to Home Depot for such things such as plywood and PVC pipes. These are essential for building, repairing, and reinforcing. If you have the space, consider storing lumber of different sizes, galvanized iron, sheets, a few steel bars, chicken wire, and maybe even some bags of concrete. It also wouldn't hurt to stock up on sealants, heavy-duty glue, lubricants, and rope. Good idea. What do we got here? How about number six, light bulbs? If you're off the grid and able to produce your own power through solar or other means, you're still going to need these. Number seven, snow and rain gear. You may not be living in a region prone to hurricanes and blizzards, but with today's erratic weather, you'll need clothes for extremely cold and wet weather. Number eight, underwear. If you have young children, you know how fast they outgrow these. For us adults, it just gets uncomfortable when those undies get a little too loose and worn. They might be great for sleeping, but what about outdoors? We have to, you need to be doing a lot of physical activity. Nothing beats a snug fit. Include a dozen pairs of thick socks also. Number nine, maps and hard copy. In grid down scenario, you won't have the internet or your phone's GPS to guide you. So get a roadmap of your city, state, and region. Get a topographical map of your retreat area. Search online, such as water sources, bike trails, high elevation areas, etc. If disaster strikes and you're still able to monitor the news, maps can help you track problems like storms, wildfires, and chemical plant accidents in reference to your area. You can print online maps out for use and likely find very specific maps or that show water tables, logging roads, gas pipes, fishing lakes, railroads, contour lines, and the like. Laminate your maps so that they're waterproof. Yes. Night Rebel 556, go commando. You could. It's not like it hasn't been done before. So, how about a grain mill? Something to consider if you're planning on doing extensive gardening. If you can grow your own grains, peanuts, beans, or even seeds from which to derive oil, such as sunflower, grapes, even moringa, why not invest in a grinder? You can save money by baking your own bread or even just grinding store-bought coffee or, you know, cocoa beans. There are manual electric types and convertible ones. Many are for home use, but some are heavy duty enough for, you know, small business. You can do it. 11, dental health. This is important. No, you don't want an impacted wisdom tooth or cavity-ridden molars causing you pain in a disaster scenario. Rotten, aching teeth are not only painful, but can create dangerous infections. If you don't have a dentist in your prep group, take care of dental problems now rather than suffer the consequences later. Meanwhile, be diligent with your dental care regimen to keep those pearly whites healthy, so regular brushing, flossing, and proper nutrition. Number 12, how about Bible or inspirational books? Probably the least prioritized, but the most helpful for one's spiritual and emotional health. Having a book that inspires and brings you peace can be very useful when things become really dire. And reading can provide a healthy distraction and break from the troubles that come with a disaster. You know, not only that, but when you're in a stressful situation, especially think about this. How about a situation where, what's the word I'm looking for? Stressful situation where you're just eventually just mentally worn down. You're going to be physically tired, but you're just mentally worn down. You're going to need to have something to help you mentally hold on, hang in there. Bible's a great example. So, all right, got to get some water. Oh, boy. Never know. All right. As long as I'm thinking about it, you know, last week, Terry and I were talking about our social justice warriors and our keyboard warriors, how we just want to pick up and we're going to go to war with the government and whatnot. Okay. And Terry and I, and I remember, I think Kenny was in the chat room also, we thought that was a really bad idea. But there will come a time when militias, patriots, and preppers may have to choose sides. And it depends on which side you're going to go to or you're going to aid. Eventually, everybody gets caught up in it. There's just no getting around it. So I was thinking about how would you know when it's time to take your group or your militia group or whatever and go to the military unit and offer your services? How will you know when it's time? You will know when it's time when the military fractures. What I'm talking about is when you have, well, it would literally be a civil war between military units. Now, which side do you choose? That would depend on what the issues are, or what's actually happening, what's really going on. And I can't answer that question for you. But what I can tell you is the time, there will come a time when you'll have to probably make a, you know, choose. And how will you know? When the military fractures. When Unit A decides that Unit B is wrong, and Unit B says, no, Unit A is wrong, and they start to duke it out. And they will. Just as sure as the sun rises in the east, when the military fractures, and it will, that's the time you take your group and cast your die. Cast the dice, baby. I hope you choose wisely and choose well. That's what I was thinking. Oh, those don't look like I've got too much more. There was a lot of stuff I found on the Facebook page that I put, but it's like, really? Do I want to put that? Do I want to talk about that? Some of the stuff I couldn't talk about was just little, you know, things here and there. So No, we're not having a long show tonight. It's a Saturday night. And I had realized we've only been gone for like, what, 25 minutes, if that, 40 minutes. That's okay. You don't. We don't have to have a long show to get across our points of view, do we? You know me. I'm a big guy, and I want to tell you about something that I've talked about before. Just so you know, for those of you who don't remember, still haven't had a cigarette. I think I'm on either like week three, maybe week four. I lost count. But I still haven't had a cigarette. Now, the next battle is going to have to be how to lose weight before it's too late. And, you know, survive, you know, the crap hitting the fan. How to Lose Weight Before It's Too Late by Alan in Fitness Health. Oh, what does he do here? All right. There is all everything we talk about, just so you know, is on the Contra Facebook page there. So it's that time of year again when many people regret not keeping their New Year's resolutions to lose weight. Swimsuit season is just around the corner and time is running out. Of course, how you look at the beach or swimming pool isn't the only reason to lose weight. A better reason to lose weight is so you'll be ready in case the shit hits the fan. Now, if you're trying to survive a disaster, the last thing you want is to be tired and out of breath all the time or suffering from a freaking heart attack. So being fit will vastly improve your chances of making it through whatever emergency hits your area. But what's the best way to get in shape? Canadian Prepper has the answer. The truth is, you shouldn't spend one single penny trying to lose weight. Pretty much every weight loss program is a waste of money because the truth is, all you have to do is exercise every day, sweat a lot, and count your calories. It's that simple. What do you think? Think it's that simple? Yeah, I think it is. I think it's just that. It's really, truly just that simple. What else do we have? Let's check here real quick. My, oh, my, oh, my. Got a lot of different stuff. Oh, stay with me here. I guess Mark Levine had his TV show. And he interviews NHS Task Force Executive Director Dr. Peter Pry about the growing EMP threat and the vulnerable state of the U.S. electrical grid. You can view it on a mobile browser. It's episode 15, EMP attack could kill 90% of the U.S. population. It's Mark Levin. So if you want to, there's a link on that for the Facebook page. What else do we have here? Yeah, ISIS is using mustard gas in Syria. Gee, big surprise there. I mean, seriously, is anybody really fooled by these people? I'm not. In fact, you could, I'd say you could probably bet on it. I did post a video on the Facebook page yesterday, I think it was. yeah. And it says, this is why you shoot until the threat stops. The video shows he's obviously engaged in a gun battle, and he gets hit at least once. It looks like maybe twice. And he's still able to pick up his gun and shoot back. Just remember, whenever you shoot somebody, just because they go down and they're injured doesn't mean that they're going to stop. As a matter of fact, you should make sure that you understand that it is, you're not going to stop. You got to shoot them and kill them. I know some people don't want to do that. Say, I don't want to kill anybody. Well, you know what? They put you in that position where you may have to. So, yes, do it. I don't think. Anything else we want to talk about tonight? So we talked about Amerigen, we talked about Wednesday show, 8 o'clock with Mike Norris. We're looking forward to that. We talked about, okay. I think I pretty much covered a lot of the stories I wanted to talk to you tonight about. And I didn't want to spend a lot of time doing it because you have stuff you want to do too. So we'll see you Wednesday, 8 p.m. Central Standard Time. We're going to have Mike Norris, the co-writer and director of the film Armageddon. And again, if you can find out if your theater chain is going to show it or not show it, if they don't, contact them. Tell them to show it. All right. I think this thing debuts May 13th or 16th. I think it's the 13th. Anyways, wanted to touch base with you on it. Okay. All righty. I think we're there. Yep. I think we're done. All right. I'm John Jeffers. Hey, thanks for tuning in. It's been a short show. That's okay. Don't need to have long shows all the time. And if you're looking for a... We'll talk about it next week. We'll talk about it next week. It's all right. All right, then. I'm John Jeffers, your host. Thanks again for tuning in to Contra Radio Network. Thanks for joining me tonight. So stay safe, stay alert, and stay vigilant. My watchwords to you. And you can pass them along to others. Until that time, I say thank you again for tuning in and listening. I'm John Jeffers, and have a good night. Bye.
Easter is coming up, and I just can't wait to have the whole family in one place. And of course, what's Easter without an awesome Easter brunch? Now, I don't know about your family, but mine is a little picky, and I really wanted to impress them with something delicious. A friend told me I should check out Total Wine & More. It was crazy. They must have every wine and beer imaginable. I told one of their friendly experts my situation, and they found me just the thing. This sparkling wine is going to be absolutely perfect for brunch, even with my picky family. I know next time I need something, I'm shopping at Total Wine and More. Easter is coming up, and I just can't wait to have the whole family in one place. And of course, what's Easter without an awesome Easter brunch? Now, I don't know about your family, but mine is a little picky, and I really wanted to impress them with something delicious. A friend told me I should check out Total Wine & More. It was crazy. They must have every wine and beer imaginable. I told one of their friendly experts my situation, and they found me just the thing. This sparkling wine is going to be absolutely perfect for brunch, even with my picky family. I know next time I need something, I'm shopping at Total Wine & More.